the migrant corridors remain extremely robust despite the efforts that both sender and destination nations are making to tamp down some of the arrivals. It seems as though it doesn't matter what governments try to do or how much money they plan to spend. This is a human phenomenon right now in this part of the century of mobility. It's unprecedented, and thousands, literally millions of people are on the move. So we're going to see, in an unregulated and irregular environment, criminals, some dangers, some chances being taken by these thousands of migrants that result in fatalities. And we've been tracking them for 3 years. And this is the largest number we've found yet.
So you've been tracking it really systematically for the last 3 years. You say that routes appear to be at full capacity now all over the world. In five continents, that's where these 7,500 deaths, or near 7,500 deaths, have been recorded. Obviously, you're seeing peaks in the Mediterranean route, but not only.
No, well, the Mediterranean has been shocking and startling in how quickly it's risen. It's almost doubled in the last 2 years. We count over 12,000 over the last 3 years for that region, but we've seen similar spikes, for example, in the, what we call the Sahara North Africa region, which is a feeder into the Mediterranean. It's some of those deaths are from the larger coastal parts of Africa, to say to the Canary Islands, which is also a trip to Europe, but not technically the Mediterranean. So we know that that's a part of it, and also, we're getting better at capturing data of some of the victims of dehydration or deaths by car accidents that occur in incredibly remote places in the Sahara itself.
Let's maybe just drill down into that point, because you say that you're getting a lot more data from the migrants themselves who are on the move, and they're using social media to stay in contact with their families, to find other people who are also on the move, maybe from their region. And when they go quiet, that's when you get contacted by the families, and that's when you realize that something bad has happened.
In extreme cases, IOM gets contacted by families, but generally these families are contacting each other. Home associations, town associations, national or religious associations associated with that ethnic group. That's generally where the traffic bubbles up from. I mean, we do have cases where migrants, say in a train yard in Latin America, actually take a picture of someone who died a few minutes ago, and that gets up on Facebook or Twitter, or it gets into the hands of people with an interest, like advocates and religious workers who care about the safety of migrants, and it spreads out from there. But obviously, migrants, regardless of how poor they are or poorly educated they are often traveling with handheld devices now, even if it's just text messaging to their family. They want people to know that they have safely crossed a border or have made it onto a boat. It's when that traffic stops then we start getting the alerts.
So with that in mind, and the fact that your system's only been going for a few years now, what's the real figure? You've got 7,500 here, but you must have an idea of how far out you are from reality.
I'm not sure we do. I mean, we know, for example, that East Asia, we're reporting 3 people this year.
Sorry, that's 3 people for the whole of East Asia.
Right. That's all the deaths we've managed to capture, probably because we're not really systematically looking at the media. Now, an internal migrant, if a train has an accident, it could kill a dozen people, and in any train accident in the world, in China, it'd be a high likelihood that someone is a internal migrant going from a rural to an urban setting, and he gets killed or she gets killed in a train accident. I'm not certain anybody would record that as a migrant death anywhere. That would be a casualty. We have a similar problem with Mexico. Mexico doesn't characterize a national who's killed during migration in Mexico as a migrant. He is a random victim of a car accident or possibly a criminal assault or something. Governments tend to be very good about what's happened to their citizens once they've crossed the border. That's where their consular network comes into play. Those figures tend to be extremely accurate because that's what diplomats are charged to do. But internally, not so much.
And as you say in your latest data, many routes are becoming more deadly around the world. Maybe you could give me details on those.
Well, let's be clear. I mean, there are places that emerge, and we write about this, that the Darien Gap in Panama this past year became very deadly. It's probably always been a dangerous place, but it wasn't seeing the migrant traffic until this year, particularly because of Cubans coming in from Ecuador or from the Caribbean to the South American mainland and then up through Panama. And also the Haitians that came to Brazil in large numbers after 2010, after the earthquake, Brazil very generously offered work visas because they anticipated with the World Cup soccer championship and also the Olympics that they were going to need a lot of construction help for these big mega projects. And that all happened, and 50,000 Haitians took advantage of this opportunity. Now they're on the move, and we're seeing casualties of Haitians in Chile or in Ecuador. That's a brand new kind of death cluster that just didn't exist. So that's there are places that are becoming evident because of trends in migration. There are others that are really long-standing, like South Asia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, across Iran, and across Turkey towards Europe. You know, we know that the numbers are enormous of who's crossing. What we don't know is how many die on those routes. And so that's where we think trends in social media will help us identify these clusters too.